This is Talking.Golf on Wisconsin.Golf. Talking.Golf is a weekly podcast featuring Gary D'Amato and Rob Hernandez. And now, here's Gary and Rob. And we welcome you into Talking.Golf. This is Rob Hernandez. I am joined by Gary D'Amato on a very strange Monday indeed, given all the things with the COVID-19 coronavirus pandemic that's going on in our country. But Gary, we're going to start our podcast and do our podcast this week despite these trying times, and we'll start with some good news. We have our first podcast sponsor, and we'd like to welcome aboard the club at Lac La Belle in Oconomowoc. Going to reopen this year, and they have signed on to be a presenting sponsor of our podcast, Talking.Golf, and we welcome them. And Tyler Morris and the crew over at the club at Lac La Belle, Gary, with a lot of exciting things happening coming up here, hopefully in 2020.
Yeah, Rob, we're really excited to have them aboard. Thanks to them for joining us. And, yeah, I went out there last fall and went to the preview day for the club at Lac La Belle, and the course is going to be exceptional. Craig Haltom and Oliphant Golf have done a great job working with Matt and Tyler Morse and the Morse family. And hopefully, you know, Rob, going forward, things are going to get back to normal at some point. We're going to have golf at some point, and can't wait to get out to see Lac La Belle.
Well, and if you go on their Facebook page at the club at Lac La Belle, you can see some of the aerials of the golf course, and it is just stunning. They've got a couple of shots from last fall as the leaves are starting to turn. And, let's not forget, this was once a private club, and it's been through, a couple of ownership changes. But, the Morris family and the people that are involved in bringing this club back, Gary, I think are going to have it as one of the premier courses in Southeast Wisconsin.
Yeah, I agree, Rob. It's going to be a great place to play golf. It's, they're going to have a membership, but they're going to have open tee times to the public. And there's a lot of golf out in the Lakes Country, but I think the club at Lac La Belle will sort of fill a niche. A lot of the public golf is good, affordable public golf out there, but this will be a high-end public course. And, on a level with, say, Oconomowoc Golf Club and some of the club at Legend at Bristlecone Pines and some of the truly good private clubs out there, this will be, on a par with them, and the public will be able to play it. So, yeah, we're looking forward to talking about club at Lac La Belle this season and getting out and playing it.
And so we are officially Talking.Golf, presented by the club at Lac La Belle. And, again, we appreciate them for throwing their support behind our podcast. Gary, before we get into the talk about the coronavirus and its impact on the golf world, I should also mention, too, in the vein that, we're hoping that things can at some point get back to normal. Right now, as we record this podcast on a Monday, there are a lot of golf courses that are open. Our list on Wisconsin.Golf continues to be updated daily. Today, the Lannan Cannon, Tom Halla, posted the video of the close sign coming down at Nagawaki. And so Nagawaki has joined the ranks. I see Blackstone Creek up in Germantown is opening. And then over towards the Madison area, we had a few courses open over the weekend, a couple of courses in Cottage Grove, Door Creek, and the Oaks. And on Sunday, the Bridges Golf Course near the airport in Madison opened. Coachman's down in Edgerton opening also on St. Patrick's Day, and others to follow suit. I saw the Lodi Golf Club, a nine-hole course up there, is opening later in the week. And when they do open, Gary, they are offering, I should mention, free golf for kids kindergarten through 12th grade, obviously with a lot of extended spring breaks and a lot of government-mandated closure of schools. A lot of these kids with time on their hand. And, again, as we're recording this right now, there is nothing to say that they can't go out. Social distancing in golf is pretty much a foregone conclusion when you play in foursomes. Obviously, I think a lot of people are recommending walking instead of taking carts at this point. But as we record this, you can still go out and play the great game of golf.
Yeah, it's such a fluid situation that things change by the day here. So some of our information is going to be outdated pretty quickly, frankly. But as of right now, you're right, Rob. People, courses are open. People are playing golf. Courses are anticipating opening. We don't know if at some point in the coming days or weeks, courses will be asked to shut down or will do so voluntarily. and when they would reopen if that should happen. But as of right now, courses are open. And you're right. Yeah, I think you mentioned social distancing. Golf is one activity where that is entirely possible. If you don't, especially if you don't take a motorized cart and you're not sitting right next to somebody, you can carry your bag or push a cart, pull cart and keep your distance from people. Don't touch the flagstick. And, it's entirely possible to be sort of, solitary while you're playing with other people. So, but we don't know where this is going, Rob. We're just going to have to, it's going to be a day by day thing.
Well, and it segues nicely into our conversation about your experience over the weekend at the Milwaukee Golf Show. You and I just a couple weeks ago were in Chicago, and it was just a sea of activity and a sea of humanity from pretty much the start of the show on the Saturday that we both were there until, you know, late in the afternoon. Not so, unfortunately, the case in Milwaukee on Saturday when you went. And, Gary, why don't you, you posted a great story on your experience, but why don't you tell us a little bit about what you saw there in Milwaukee and what people were saying about the situation we're in.
Yeah, it was a really interesting mix, Rob, of people I talked to who were didn't poo-poo necessarily this, but just sort of said we're going to do what we want to do. We're going to go. We're going to the golf show. We're at the golf show, and we're not letting it change coronavirus change what we do. But other people, of course, were taking every precaution. And some of the vendors pulled out, actually quite a few of the vendors. Jay Royal, who owns the Milwaukee Golf Show, told me about 25% of his vendors pulled out. Some vendors showed up, the perfect foursome from the Upper Peninsula, Gray Walls, Timberstone, and the Island Resort and Casino. They showed up, they put up their booth on Friday, and Josh Rideau, the director of golf at the Par 5 Resort, formerly Fox Hills, their booth was right next to the Perfect Foursome. And Josh told me that they, at some point Friday afternoon, they got a phone call from their bosses saying, come home. So they took down their booth and left. So it was just a lot of people I saw, Rob, you know, bumping knuckles when they greeted each other or touching elbows. But I saw a lot of handshakes, too. So it's quite interesting that a show that's normally packed with people was, you know, there were only a few hundred people midday Saturday afternoon when I was there.
Well, and I think there's still going to be some denial in all this. And as you just stated, I mean, you know, this situation changes by the hour. And I guess I go back to my experience over at Newport Beach Country Club just 2 weeks ago, talking to Jerry Kelly's son, Cooper, who had been over in Italy on a, you know, exchange program through the University of Colorado. And, and, you know, at that point, you know, everyone was wondering, you know, was it the right thing to do to come home? Was it premature? He said Colorado kind of kept their kids there longer than others. And as we sit here today, thank goodness that Cooper Kelly was able to come home, get home, and, you know, be with his family. It really, you know, I think speaks to the immediacy of how, you know, quickly this whole situation is changing.
Yeah, it's funny, Rob. Unrelated to golf, I was talking to Scott Doffick, the baseball coach at UW-Milwaukee. They were, this was just 3 or 4 days ago, they were looking forward to getting into their new stadium this coming Friday.
Sure.
And all of a sudden, you know, the Horizon League canceled everything, and they're going to have to wait another year to get into their new baseball stadium. And I think that just points to what you were saying, Rob, in that it's such a fluid situation that, and you're right, things are changing by the hour, and the outlook and everything we're talking about now could be just obsolete in 24 hours. So we're trying to stay ahead of the curve. Everyone is, but it seems like it's awfully hard to do.
Well, let's walk through your emotions, Gary, when the Players' Championship was postponed and then less than 24 hours later, Augusta National stepped up and said there will be no Masters in April this year. That, on the one hand, emotionally, you love that event so much, that had to hurt. But at the same time, I'm sure a couple seconds later, you realize, I'm not sure I want to go to Augusta National in a situation the magnitude of which we're facing.
Yeah, exactly, Rob. You know, in the bigger picture, you know, it's just a golf tournament. There's a lot more important things going on in the world right now. But when you get down to the micro level and just talk about golf, it's such an important event. And, you know, people would have been coming from all over the world to attend that tournament. as they do. And so obviously it was a good move to postpone it. Now the question is, you know, will it be played at all this year? I just read something. Jack Nicklaus says he doesn't think the Masters will be played in 2020, which would be a shame. But, you know, when we do get back to playing golf and the playing tournaments, the whole entire schedule leading up to the Ryder Cup and beyond is going to be affected. And it's impossible to say, you know, what tournaments are going to be played and when at this point.
Well, and that's a good point. You know, the domino effect of all this, you know, is immense. I mean, we've been waiting since what, you know, the early 2000s when it was announced that Whistling Straits would get two PGAs and a Ryder Cup after the first one that it hosted. And, you know, we thought 2020 would never get here. It's here. The anticipation has been, you know, incredible for this event. And now even that is probably somewhat, you know, compromised just because, you know, of the window of time that you need to prepare for all of this and not knowing what that would entail. If we're still in the situation into the summer, Gary, and right now, you know, the CDC is saying 8 weeks of, you know, of 50 people or less. I mean, it's already impacting the NBA, the NHL, and the start of Major League Baseball. Who knows where this is headed and the domino effect it might have on an event like the Ryder Cup?
Yeah, it's impossible to say. You know, there are going to be all the golf organizations when it's time to resume doing what they're doing are going to have to put their heads together and come up with a workable schedule. And there are going to be tournaments that just fall by the wayside this year and hopefully come back next year. I mean, it's going to happen. Are we going to play the U.S. Open in June? And if not, when will we play it? Are we going to play the PGA Championship in May? As I think threatened at this point. So how do you backload the schedule with all the major championships and the FedEx Cup playoffs and the Ryder Cup and do, you know, 10 other tournaments fall by the wayside? I don't know. I mean, these are things that we won't know the answers to for weeks and weeks probably.
And before we leave the topic of Augusta National, there is an opportunity to play it in the fall when conditions would be maybe not identical to what they are in April, but it wouldn't be as bad as you obviously couldn't play a tournament like that during the summer months in the state of Georgia.
No, and in fact, Rob, as you know, Augusta National closes in May and doesn't reopen again until October. Now, would they reopen for a special circumstance to be able to hold the Masters? They probably would. But I think the more likely scenario is that if it's played at all this year, it's probably played after the Ryder Cup in October when the club reopens. Now, the course would play completely different than it plays in early April. But I just saw a quote by Justin Thomas. He said, "I'll play if it's 25 degrees and no people on the course to have a chance to win the Masters." And I'm sure he speaks for all golfers. But yeah, we just don't know.
As we also look at, I think it was right about the time that they made the announcement about the Players Championship. The domino effect started with the NBA canceling its season when one of the players tested positive for the coronavirus. And then the ripple effect was enormous. One of the first things to go was the NCAA Final Four. And with that, then the NCAA decided to be proactive and cancel the spring sports season. And I think a lot of people were surprised that they went ahead and did that so quickly. But, Gary, I think one thing, you know, anybody that's had kids in college understands is the fact that the amount of time between the end of the Final Four in the first week of April and the end of school, which for most universities is the first weekend in May, is not that great. There's a lot that happens in that window of time. There are a lot of things that have already been played. Obviously, Division One golf, some Division Two tournaments have already been, you know, started, and those schedules, you know, were underway. But the NCAA decision to cancel spring sports hurt, but again, I think it ultimately was the right one just because of the logistics involved in trying to, you know, maybe, you know, legislate or you know, postponing. To me, Gary, would have just been postponing the inevitable.
Yeah, you know, there was initially a little bit of criticism directed at the NCAA for calling off March Madness in the Final Four, but I think as time went on, and when I say time, I'm talking hours or days, if not hours, I think people realized it was the right call. And that's another example of, you know, an organization trying to get ahead of this, trying to stay ahead of this, this pandemic. And so it turned out to be the right call, although I remember when it was made, a lot of people were saying, why? Well, I think we know the answer now.
Right, and I think we're seeing with the way that this this situation has proliferated overseas, you know, that discretion is the better part of valor, and I think it was a good decision. Now, that said, Gary, when I heard the news, my thoughts immediately went to the women's golf team at the University of Wisconsin-Whitewater, where Andrea Whelan had, you know, arguably one of the school's, you know, greatest golf teams ever, getting set to first of all, head to Florida for a spring break trip, get a chance to practice at PGA National where the national championship will be held. And then, honestly, 2 months to the day before they were supposed to tee it up in the first round of the NCAAs, it was determined that those championships would not take place. That was a blow to Whitewater. UW-Superior's men's team had also qualified for the national championship, same location, different courses down in Florida at the same time in May. UW-Eau Claire just moved up into the top 10, Gary, at number 9 in the men's golf stat D3 rankings. They were almost certain to get an at-large berth at the NCAA championship. And Carthage women's team that had won their conference title, but because of a quirky little thing the coaches did about a year ago, instead of giving an automatic qualifying berth to the champion, they were going to make everybody come back in the spring here and compete in a 36-hole, essentially a 36-hole qualifier, but Brandi Johnson's team down there at Kenosha really looked like they were in position to do it. Emmett Herb up at St. Thomas, the Tommies, qualified for the national championship. So all of a sudden you've got some really great teams with, you know, opportunities taken away. Emotionally, Gary, that I felt for those kids because you and I have covered a lot of them, and we know how much work has gone into that. That one was a hard one to kind of stomach because a lot of these kids had already earned the opportunity.
Yeah, Rod, you're right. That it's a very sad situation you feel for those athletes, and then you multiply it 10,000-fold, and all the athletes across America at all levels who are having their seasons interrupted, postponed, canceled, not only obviously affecting golf at the NCAA level, but affecting high schools from coast to coast, affecting all colleges at all levels and professional sports. It's sad. You feel for the athletes who have worked so hard and who have achieved, you know, some great things and looking forward to doing more. And but as we've talked about already in this podcast several times, Robin, in the big picture, makes perfect sense. And life will go on, and at some point we'll get back to normal.
When we do get back to normal, Gary, there's a chance that something very abnormal in college athletics will be happening, and that's restored eligibility for some of these athletes who lost seasons here, especially the spring sports athletes. The NCAA has already come out and said that they will grant additional eligibility in some way, shape, or form. Details to come. I like the idea, Gary. I'm terrified by the details. How about you?
Yeah, it's there'd be a lot of things to work out in that scenario, but you're right, Rob. I think it's a great idea. All these students who have had their seasons canceled and their last semester as seniors to go out the way they would like to go out can't do it now. So I'm all for granting them that extra eligibility. But you're right. The devil's in the details, and a lot of things would have to be worked out.
I did talk to Todd Erlein, the head women's golf coach at the University of Wisconsin, also the president of the Women's Golf Coaches Association, and he detailed the dilemma at the Division I level is in the budgeting, the financial aspect of it. And first of all, you would need an increase in scholarship allotments to each sport, and at the, you know, in general, and then specifically at each university, Gary, it would be up to the school to say, okay, we can afford to give these kids another year and keep them on scholarship and still bring in whatever recruiting class is coming in that was expected to take over those scholarships and fill that allotment. That's an issue at the Division I level. At the Division III level, money also at the root of it. If you've got kids coming back, there are no athletic scholarships in Division III. There may or may not be some academic scholarships, but the cost is probably absorbed by the athlete. And then you've got two different kinds of situations, Gary. One is you've got a lot of kids who either double major and have to spend a fifth year. This is going to be perfect for them. Or kids that, you know, are so, you know, I guess, in love with the idea of maybe one more year of competition, where they would, you know, pay for another year and have the resources to do it. The money factor at the Division III level really scares me because I think it's clear. Some kids come from, you know, backgrounds where they will be able to take advantage of this and spend another year playing college golf. Others simply need to get out in the workforce, start making money, and start paying back college loans. And that's going to be a hard one for the NCAA, I think, to wrap its arms around, because one size in that scenario does not fit all.
Yeah, what do you do about the young man or woman who graduates this spring but still has that semester of eligibility left and wants to come back in the fall and play golf, but has already graduated and doesn't really intend to take any classes? What do you do with that person? What are the answers, Rob? I don't have any.
Well, and I know that currently the way it stands, if you are slated to graduate and you know, like my daughter was, you know, could have graduated mid-year, her senior year, wanted to come back for a final semester of college golf, and you know, was able to take, I think at that, in that situation, you take a minimum of 6 credits. Now, whether they stick to a 6 credit per semester thing, you know, for these kids coming back or not, I don't know. Whether there's truly, you know, coursework that they can take towards a graduate degree, I don't know. I think it is a case by case thing. And then there's the other issue, Gary, of the fact that a lot of decisions were made by the class of 2020 as far as where they were going to go play their college golf based on not only who was coming back to those programs, but also who was leaving and the opportunity that might present itself to those kids in those schools. And, you know, again, depending on how many seniors you have on your roster right at this very moment and how many would be in position to come back, that impacts these high school freshmen that are, or seniors that will be college freshmen next year. And that's another, you know, situation that I'm not sure that, you know, there's an easy solution to in terms of, you give everyone, you know, in this, you know, coronavirus window an additional year, 5 to use 4, you know, to me, it kind of really, complicates and convolutes the recruiting process. And as you know, Gary, it's already a convoluted process.
Yeah, it is. And I guess to wrap up this topic, Rob, all you can say is that the world today is vastly different than it was a week ago or 2 weeks ago. And things are going to continue to change. And these answers, they're going to be, we're going to find the answers to these questions. We're going to arrive at solutions and decisions. But what they are at this point is anyone's guess, really. I mean, we don't know.
And, again, we should also mention, too, you're listening to Gary and Rob here on Talking.Golf, and we are brought to you this week and going forward by the Club at Lac La Belle in Oconomowoc. Look for the Club at Lac La Belle to reopen this summer for the 2020 golf season. It'll be a fantastic golf experience for you in the Lakes Country just west of Milwaukee. Gary, as we look ahead on the horizon, I think you know, the biggest answer we need to have is how do we combat this virus and how do we, you know, put this behind us? And as we record this podcast, you know, obviously those answers are not, you know, right, you know, immediately available. And so we're kind of in a holding pattern. So speculating as to what next, to what is next is hard. But we already know that WIA has delayed their spring sports. Their track and field started last week. Softball was supposed to start today, baseball and boys tennis next week. I guess the irony in all this is the fact that, you know, they delayed the boys golf season in 2020 because of a schedule change prompted by the date change for the AmFam Championship, which moved the state high school tournament 2 weeks later. I'm not sure 2 weeks is enough, and I'm not sure these sports are going to be played. And right now that's the hard part, is not knowing. And then beyond that, you know, just looking at, you know, some of the professional schedules, you've got, you know, you've got livelihoods here that, you know, are, you know, hanging in the balance of how quickly something be done to combat the coronavirus. And then if something is found, if a cure, you know, or something is found to slow this down, how soon do we return to normal? It's really weird to sit here, Gary, and try to speculate about something that we have no idea how soon we can return to that quote unquote normalcy.
Yeah, you're right, Rob. You know, everything I've read and seen is that we're still possibly weeks away from the peak of coronavirus, But that just means a peak. There's also the backside of the curve, so which will go on for many more weeks after that, possibly. So, you know, we don't know if we'll be back to normal in 6 or 8 weeks or if it's going to be 3 or 4 months. I mean, we just don't know. So hopefully by the time we do our podcast next week, Rob, we'll have a little more information, but there's a chance we won't either next week.
So between now and then, Gary, I'll ask you the question, do you plan to go out and play golf?
I do. I'm at least going to go hit balls somewhere. With the weather, you know, now looking like it's going to be in the 40s for the next couple of weeks, I'm going to go hit balls and hopefully play some golf, Rob. How about you?
I'm hoping to get back out. I'm not today, and then we've got rain. We've had about 4 inches of rain out here in California since, you know, in the last 6 to 8 days. And things are a little bit soft out there yet, and so I'm going to wait for that to clear up. I do plan to. I was kind of, as you know, I coach high school golf. I was on the fence, Gary, about whether to, you know, email my golfers, especially, you know, the girls golfers from the team in the fall. You know, they haven't really been in a golf mode here for quite some time, and now they have the opportunity to do so. But I just, you know, I still don't know whether it's 100% right, and again, you know, you and I may have plans to go out and play golf here, whether it's, you know, today, tomorrow, or sometime by the time we talk again next week. And we may be told we can't do it. And that would be just another very bizarre pill to swallow. But again, if we're being told by experts that this is in the best interest of the situation at hand, we have to adhere to it. But right now, I don't have any problem going out and playing golf. I certainly don't have any problem going out and practicing golf. You know, again, you know, practicing the social distancing, you know, making sure that if I'm on a practice putting green that, you know, I'm going to, you know, one little hole while, you know, somebody else might be going, you know, to another one, you know, 6 to 10 feet away. You know, I'm more aware of that now than I was a week ago. And I think golf could be one of those few, you know, areas where they can, where people can get away. But again, you know, consult the most recent information available to you before you make the decision to go out and play.
Yeah, that's always great advice, Rob. And to add to that, you know, some of the owners and operators I talked to at the Milwaukee Golf Show on Saturday were really optimistic that there's going to be a season, that it's going to start on time, if not slightly delayed, and that people are going to be excited to get out and play golf. It might be one of the few activities that people can do, because there certainly won't be in large gatherings of people. 50 or more certainly is what the standard is right now. And they can practice social distancing, and it's sort of a solitary game. I mean, I like to go out and play golf alone and early in the morning, Rob. And if golf courses do not close, I'll for sure be doing that.
Yeah, and I'm more of a late afternoon guy. You know, after all the 18-hole rounds have gone off, I usually try to get in at least 3 or 4 9-hole rounds, you know, a week out here. And again, it's just an opportunity to kind of, you know, get away from it all and kind of be alone in your thoughts. But, you know, even if I were asked by, you know, buddies to, you know, go play 18, I'd be happy to, you know, give it a try, but I would walk and I don't feel that it's quite, you know, the concern that maybe other activities are. And I certainly have kind of, had a second opinion on whether to engage in some of those. So, you know, and especially, you know, going out and gathering in public. But as far as golf goes, you know, let's see what the future holds, and that future being the next 7 days. And when we get together again next week, Gary, let's compare our notes and see what we're seeing in our little corners of the world.
Sounds good, Rob. And one more shout out to the club at Lac La Belle for joining us as a presenting sponsor of our podcast. We're glad to have them on board. And I'll look forward to talking to you again next week, Rob.
All right. For Gary D'Amato, I'm Rob Hernandez. This has been Talking.Golf, presented by the club at Lac La Belle in Oconomowoc. We'll talk to you again next week.